Good morning. My name is Sharon, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Eldorado Gold First Quarter 2015 Financial and Operating Results Conference Call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. If you would like to ask a question, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. I will now turn the call over to Paul Wright, CEO of Eldorado Gold. Mr. Wright, you may now begin your conference.
Thank you, operator, and good morning, and thank you all for joining us this morning. Welcome to our first quarter financial and operating results call. In Vancouver this morning, we have Norm Pitcher, President, Fabiana Chubbs, Chief Financial Officer, Paul Skayman, Chief Operating Officer, and Krista Muhr, our Vice President of Investor Relations. As always, we have provided detailed financial and operational information in yesterday's press release. Before I begin, I need to remind you that any projections and objectives included in our discussion today are likely to involve risks, which are detailed in our 2015 AIF and the forward-looking statement disclaimer at the end of yesterday's news release. We will follow the usual format with myself providing some general comments on the company's business and our results and release. Norm will then provide operational detail, followed by a brief walk through the financial statements led by Fabi, and then we'll open up for questions. First of all, I would like to thank all of our staff for their tremendous effort and ongoing effort that's delivered these excellent operational results for the start of 2015. With gold production of 189,414 ounces and all-in sustaining costs of $729 an ounce, this performance provides solid support for the company's operational guidance for 2015. Despite ongoing capital spend on growth projects, our balance sheet remains very strong, with total liquidity of $869 million. Before handing over to Norm, who will provide the detail on our operations development projects, I would like to share some of our thoughts as it relates to our business in Greece. As you are aware, our Greek subsidiary, Hellas Gold, at the end of February, received a formal notice from the Ministry of Energy revoking the approval required to complete the final construction of the processing plant at Skouries. We continue to believe that the decision of the ministry has no legal basis and have taken appropriate legal action to protect the rights of the company, our employees, and all stakeholders. I'd like to remind all that the integrity of the EIA, the main permit supporting our projects in Halkidiki, has been confirmed now by three separate rulings by the Council of State, which is Greece's Supreme Court on Administrative Environmental Matters. Now, the origins of the attitudes and the actions taken by the ministry relate to significant misinformation on our investment that was propagated prior to the government coming to power. The company, our unions, and the local society, who will provide overwhelming support for the investment, are actively engaged at multiple levels within the government in what I would refer to as an ongoing education process. Through the efforts of the legal framework, we believe that the Greek government will, in time, in due course, appreciate the merits of this investment, and the investment will continue in the manner described. With that, I'll hand over to Norm.
Thanks, Paul, and good morning, everyone. As Paul mentioned, it was a good quarter operationally for us. I don't really have a lot of comments on the operations, but I'll just run through them quickly. Starting with Kışladağ, we produced just over 79,000 ounces at cash costs of $522 per ounce. During the quarter, we mined about 4.5 million tons of ore, of which about 1 million tons was sent directly to the leach pad as uncrushed run-of-mine. Strip ratio for the quarter was  1.7:1, I think a little bit lower than budgeted. Over at Efemçukuru, we produced just over 21,000 ounces at $604 per ounce. Very wet weather during the quarter slowed us down a little bit at Efemçukuru, as it hampered dry stack tailings placement, and impacted site water management. Grade was also a little bit lower than planned, due to changes in the short-term mine plan. However, we've had a good month in April and are mostly caught up production-wise going into May. In China, great start to the year at all three mines, all of them producing more ounces at less cost than budgeted, with really no operating issues there. At Jinfeng, we were 36,686 ounces at about $600 per ounce. White Mountain was almost 21,000 ounces at $600 per ounce. And Tanjianshan, was 26,626 at 407 per ounce. That's it for the gold mining operations. At the Olympias tailings retreatment, we milled 157,000 tons at 2.2 grams per ton and produced just over 4,700 ounces of gold. And at Stratoni, we produced 12,478 tons of concentrate at cash costs of $738 per ton sold. Villanova was placed on care and maintenance in Q4 2014. A small amount of ore was processed during the plant shutdown, and we did have one shipment of about 48,000 tons of iron ore sold during the quarter. On development projects at Skouries, despite the wet weather there, which is essentially the same weather we were seeing across the water at Efemçukuru, we continued to progress the project. Open pit stripping using a contractor continued during the quarter, and we expect to have the overburden and topsoil removal completed during Q2. In the plant site, we worked on piling and earthworks, as well as concrete foundations in the flotation area. At Olympias, we restarted the main decline during the quarter, using cover grouting to control water inflows. We also continued on both underground rehab and new development in the Olympias mine. Engineering on the Phase 2 plant at Olympias was advanced during the quarter, including procurement of long lead time items and development of basic engineering designs. Over in China at Eastern Dragon, the project permit approval has been submitted to NDRC in Beijing, and we anticipate approval of that application in May. Where we currently stand, we're probably about a month behind in the permitting process right now. So the timing of the post-PPA supplementary permits is critical to what we can get done during the field season this year. And just a little more on sort of, you know, permitting in China right now, what we're seeing is any particular permit goes to an agency, for example, NDRC, and what they look for is consensus among other ministries. So they'll reach out to Ministry of Commerce or Ministry of Land and Resources just to make sure that everyone's in agreement. You know, and we're seeing this, I think, as part of the focus on corruption in China. So they just want to get a broad consensus. It doesn't change the ultimate outcome. It just sort of slows the process down a little bit. At Certej, we are still looking at the feasibility this quarter. On the exploration side, you know, generally Q1's a relatively quiet quarter for exploration. However, we did manage to drill just over 8,700 meters of drilling, most of which came from underground drilling at White Mountain. And then at Tanjishan, a development of the QLT North decline proceeded on schedule during the quarter, and underground drilling there began in April. With that, I'll turn it over to Fabi.
Thank you, Norm, and good morning, everyone. I will go through the financial statement highlighted changes in significant accounts. Commencing with the balance sheet, we ended the quarter with cash, cash equivalent, and term deposits balance of $494 million compared to $501 million at the end of 2014. The change in cash balance is mainly the result of cash generation from operations, net of usage of cash flow for dividend payments, and our capital program. Weak iron ore prices continued during the quarter, resulting in a non-cash write-down of $6 million of iron ore inventory costs. The increase of $11 million in the deferred income tax liability balance relates mainly to the impact of Turkish lira exchange rate changes on the tax basis of our Turkish assets. Moving on to the income statement, we reported a loss attributable to shareholders of the company of $8.2 million, or 1 cent per share, for the quarter, compared to a profit of $31 million, or 4 cents per share, in the first quarter of 2014. Adjusted net earnings for the quarter were $19.5 million, or 3 cents per share, compared to $37 million, of 5 cents per share in the first quarter of 2014. The difference in adjusted profit year over year was mainly due to foreign exchange losses on monetary accounts of our Canadian, Brazilian, and Turkish subsidiaries, and lower gross profit from gold mining operations during the quarter. We reported revenues for the quarter of $238 million compared to $280 million a year ago. Revenues were impacted by lower iron ore sales, $17 million, a 5% fall in realized gold prices, and a 5% fall in the ounces sold. the higher effective income tax rate resulting from non-cash items, including the impact of a weaker Turkish lira on the deferred tax balances, as well as an increase in the percentage of unrecognized tax losses due to lower profits in the quarter. On the statement of cash flows, during the quarter, we generated cash flows from operating activities before changing in raw working capital of $59 million, compared to $95 million in the first quarter of 2014. The main uses of cash relate to our capital program, $75 million, and dividend payment of $6 million. Those are my comments on the financial statements. I will return the call back to Paul.
Thank you, Fabi. Thanks, Norm. Operator, we'll open up for questions at this point.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Your first question comes from John Bridges from J.P. Morgan. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Paul, everybody. Congratulations on the result. There was a story on MineWeb earlier this week talking about an overturning of a 2013 decision. I just wondered how meaningful that was and if you could give us some background.
Yeah, look, it relates to legislation that existed at the time under which we were appealing a delay in approval of various various permits. I mean, it's been superseded by new legislation, John, so the significance is somewhat muted. However, I guess, I would say broadly speaking, it tends to lend credence to the argument that I obviously made earlier that, we have, the support historically of all of the decisions that have been made on for the project itself. So this is just yet again another decision by the Council of State supporting the validity of our investment in the country. So it augurs well for future decisions, I would suggest.
Okay. I'm just wondering, obviously, Greece is a sovereign country and makes its own decisions, but to what extent is there an interplay between Greece rules and those of the European market?
As it relates to...
Would the Euro community have an interest in these decisions?
One would suggest so, because through the development of employment and taxes, the economic benefits accrue to the state of Greece, which ultimately is what the country needs to diminish its need for funds from the EU's and others. So this is, yes, I mean, major investment is indeed relevant, and I think it's safe to assume that, our engagement includes the Europeans.
Okay. And the operations, you've granted the Olympias ramp. How's that? How's the advance going? That was slowed by the water. Is it improved now?
Yeah, I mean the grouting is working. It's not as fast as if you weren't having to do that, but we do. I mean, we can get sort of 30 meters ahead on the grouting curtain, and then once you've drilled those holes, then you're developing within that.
I think we have a system now, John, that works.
It's
a matter of working to refine to get the productivity within that system, as good as it can be. But, I mean, certainly for the time being, we're going to have to continue to operate under grout cover, but it's a matter of continuing month by month to perfect the efficiency of the elements of the cycle, I guess is the best way of putting it.
What sort of advance rate are you working on at the moment?
Projected advance rate?
Yeah. Remember what we had for the year? 70 to 80 meters per month.
Kilometer,
yeah.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot. I'll get out of the way. Thanks a lot. Well done.
Thanks, John. Thanks.
Your next question comes from Kevin Chu from CIBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, Paul and team, and congrats on a good quarter. I had a few questions. Maybe we can start with Kisladag. You talked about the benefit of the higher grade placed on the pad at the end of 2014. Just wondering, do you expect that to have any sort of trickle effect going forward?
The inventory's been chewed down fairly strongly there, so I wouldn't expect it to have as much effect as we carry on. We should be fairly clean now in terms of gold on and gold off, I think.
And the grade should kind of stay consistent at that 0.7 gram per ton?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. And maybe a question on the CapEx. You know, it's well understood that the first quarter tends to see the lower capital spend. Maybe for the Greek assets in particular, could you maybe comment on if you're still on track or expect to spend the $200 million and the $110 million that was budgeted earlier in the year?
Look, I think the impact of weather on Skouries has sort of slowed down progress. Certainly the outstanding issues we have as it relates to permits, depending on how long it takes to resolve this, could impact both progress as well as spend. So there's certainly some potential for slippage in terms of the spend rate and the schedule on Skouries. The Olympias, however, is unaffected, and I think at this point we're going full speed ahead.
Yeah, and the weather too. I mean, the first quarter was, as I've said a couple of times, was pretty darn wet. So our ability to do earthworks was limited, and now we're getting into the better weather, and they can start ramping up on that.
Great. Okay. And maybe lastly, if I could ask about Eastern Dragon. In terms of the PPA, is that the key bottleneck, or maybe if I ask it in another way, are any of the supplemental permits challenging to get approval for?
They're not nearly as big as the PPA, because the PPA is what sort of makes it an official project approved by NDRC. So that's by far the big one. You know, after that we've got the EL, the exploration license gets turned into an ML. That's done by Ministry of Land and Resources centrally, and then there's some forest permits that are done both locally and in Beijing. But they're not, and that's really it. They're not, they're not like the PPA.
Thanks. That's all for me.
Your next question comes from Michael Gray from Macquarie Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. Got a question on the Stratoni drill results you released. The apparent thickness of 26 meters near the mine. Number one, the gold credit showing up. You've documented maybe comments on that, because I haven't seen that before. And also what the plan is going forward down dip exploration-wise.
Yeah, look, I mean, there's